Tell Me What to Read is recorded on the lands of the Wangal people, and we pay our respects to all elders past and present, and extend our welcome to any First Nations people listening today. This is Tell Me What to Read, brought to you by Booktopia. I'm your host, Nick Wasiliev, and welcome to the show where we chat about the next great books you should be reading with the authors behind them and familiar faces who read them. All books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au, and the links can be found in the description.
This is Tell Me What to Read, powered by Booktopia. I'm Cassidy Fisher, and I'm taking over hosting duties today to chat with the fantastic book talker, Sophie, aka No Sophies Allowed, to talk about all things on BookTok. If you don't know, Sophie has amassed over 280,000 fans on TikTok with her book reviews, hauls, and funny commentary. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we meet today. I'd also like to pay my respects to elders both past and present. Sophie, welcome to Tell Me What to Read.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to be chatting with you today. I love all things social media as part of my job, so this is the fun part. I get to chat all things books.
That's the thing. It's like the dream job, being able to talk about books with everyone who also loves talking about books.
Exactly. Well, you've gained quite an impressive following on the little app called TikTok. How did you get started with the platform?
Well, I started uploading back in 2019 as when a lot of people started. I didn't really know what it was. It was just like some app that my friend told me to get. And then in 2020, I started posting more regularly. Obviously, we're all in lockdown, so I didn't have a lot else to do. And then I started talking about books on the app at the end of 2020. Before that, though, I did have a BookTube channel, which didn't really go very far, kind of gave up on that. But that's where I started talking about books online. And then eventually it just made sense. Like on TikTok, I saw a couple people starting to talk about books and I was like, oh, I could start doing that on here. And it's kind of fun to make short form book content, and people started really enjoying it. So I kept going.
Was it daunting starting out? I'm finding, as I'm now starting to appear on some more social things and really putting myself out there, did you find it challenging or?
Yeah, in the beginning, it was quite overwhelming. Back in 2020, I think it was around August of 2020 is when I started. I kind of had probably 7,000 followers for the majority of the beginning of the year. And then all of a sudden I had one video go really viral. I think it ended up getting over a million likes, which is absolutely insane. And back then, I think going viral was a bit different to how it is now. I think a lot of things are going viral now, and that doesn't translate as quickly over to followers, which is just something that I've noticed. And so I started gaining followers really fast. And I think within a day, I'd gotten up to 20,000. And it was quite overwhelming because it was something that I was just doing for fun. Didn't think a lot of people were going to really see it. And then all of a sudden to have just people following me and then trying to keep up with that. But I didn't really ever let it put too much pressure on me. I still was just having fun. And luckily I've been able to find a really nice sort of slice of the internet where everyone's been super kind to me and all the comments have just been really lovely, and being able to engage with everyone has been fun. So it's, it was interesting. And obviously I'd been making YouTube videos when I was a kid and stuff as a teenager, and it was something that I guess I always was open to the idea of having followers online, as I think a lot of people kind of are. If you're putting stuff out there, you're hoping to kind of get a couple followers out of it sometimes. But it was never the reason why I did it wasn't really to take it anywhere, which I think is kind of, sometimes I feel I've missed a bit of an opportunity if I could have really jumped on it. But then I was just having fun, and it's just been a way for me to express myself creatively. So it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to be involved in, but it's really cool and I'm very thankful.
But I think the fact that, like you said, you're still just having fun with it and, you know, you're really doing, I feel like you do that content sometimes for you, not like you can, that really shines through and you can, it sort of feels very authentic and you're like, followers know, people know when people aren't being authentic anymore. Yeah. So I feel like when I've been watching your content, I think that's a reason, like, why you really shine as well. Like,
you can
feel that you're having fun with it while you're just reading. Like, I just want to share this with you. It's really infectious.
I really appreciate that. Because that's the thing. It was like I kind of started off, I wasn't making videos about books. And they were the books that, the videos that were doing a lot better, where I was just talking about other random things. But then I really, like, loved talking about books. And so I was like, well, I'm going to talk about what I am really enjoying. And like I've found a lot of people through that that I'm now like friends with online because we share, yeah, that love of books. And so it is, it's just something that I was like, oh, well, I kind of want to just take it down that direction. That's the content that I'm really enjoying making. And now I've been, yeah, very lucky to have opportunities like this through that. So I think it is important to just be authentic and do what you want, or else you do get burnt out. Because, yeah, I've been making videos now for like 3 years. And I think if I was trying to cater for what I thought I should be doing, I don't think I would have been able to do it for this long. Because I think you do just get a bit tired of it if you're not really enjoying it.
100%. I completely agree. And, you know, keeping up that relatively frequent, steady state of content, but it's on something that you really feel passionate about and that you really want to do. It's so much easier, I think, than having to hit all these things that you think everyone wants to see. And then they don't do as well, I feel like.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it does. It's just people can tell when you're into it and when you're not. And I think, yeah, as long as you're having fun, people will see that and enjoy it more. So.
Well, that's a perfect segue to my next question. I would say, other than book recommendations, can you tell me a little bit about why you love BookTok?
I love BookTok because it's such like a welcoming sort of community. I remember when I first started making videos, people were like, oh, are you coming onto BookTok now? And I was like, yeah. And I feel like sometimes it can feel like there are certain niches that are hard to kind of feel like you're a part of. But immediately people were just so nice and other BookTokers were like, everyone's really engaged in it and like commenting on each other's things. And there's just that really like shared love of something that is so, you can just feel it. And so I love being a part of that. And it's just such a good way to really like, yeah, diversify what I'm reading and find recommendations that I just never would have found otherwise. Cause you know, especially in Australia, certain books you just can't easily find on the shelves. And so then I know that I can source them online. I hear about people talking about them and yeah, so it's just such a welcoming and fun and uplifting community, and it's such a nice place on the internet to have something that's so positive.
Well, I guess it's great because you all share the love of the same thing.
And exactly.
It's fueled by this need to tell other people like that they're going to enjoy this book or this next book or this is coming out. Like, it's fueled by that excitement and like love of books. So hope it's mostly positive.
Oh, 100%. It's very much just, yeah, an uplifting sort of space. And everyone is so encouraging of each other's content and each other's success. And yeah, just sharing that love for the same thing. It's so nice.
Fantastic. Well, I know that you have a real soft spot for literary fiction, as we have chatted about a few books already. But what do you love about that genre more than others?
Particularly, like, I've found that I'm drawn to it because I just really love seeing like the inner workings of different situations and different characters. And I feel like that's obviously present across a lot of genres, but I found that over the years I have been trying to really like find what I'm enjoying. And it's only been this year that I've really found and fallen in love with literary fiction. I started off reading a lot of like YA a couple years ago, and then read a couple fantasy books, and I just found that I wasn't connecting with them on like a personal level as much. And then I've read some romance, but literary fiction, there's just something about it that I love. And I feel like it's a very broad sort of umbrella. So there's so many different types of books still within literary fiction that I'm getting quite a diverse range of stories and characters and situations while being under that same sort of storytelling style where it focuses more on the characters rather than the plot.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like you described, you kind of have been on a bit of a journey. Like you start, I can so relate to that. You start reading one thing, but then you discover that from that you really like this element, so you'll try something else, and then you absolutely love that, and then you'll hone in 100% what you really love, and then that may change, and who knows what you'll end up reading in 5-10 years. So
that's
the thing. Like, it's always growing with you.
Yeah, and I feel like, yeah, definitely depending on where you're at in your life and what you're wanting to get out of what you're reading is 100% going to change the genre that you're in. Like, at the moment, I'm very much trying to figure out what I want to do with my life, where I am, and I feel like that's a lot of literary fiction. It's the girls in their early 20s not really knowing what's going on. I love them because I feel like I can see myself in what they're going through, which I probably wouldn't have, like, related to as much 4 years ago, because I was still, you know, like 19, didn't really know what I was going on back then. And so, yeah, it definitely does grow with you.
I feel like that's why the show, I don't know if you've seen Friends, but I feel like that's a big reason why that show was such a big hit, because yeah, everyone could relate to just like being at that time of your life.
Exactly.
Sorry, weird segue, but I just, that triggered something, and I'm like, that's 100%. So why that was popular.
Yeah, because it's just, I think people do just want to see themselves and feel less alone in what they're going through, which is exactly what Friends did, and a lot of sitcoms back in, yeah, like the early 90s, like Gilmore Girls and things like that, just make you feel like comforted in where you are, which is something that, yeah, that's what I definitely look for in what I read as well as what I watch on TV.
Definitely, for sure. Well, Book Talk is really massive now. I'm sure you know, like, it's huge with so many creators and so many recommendations. And I just fall into a pit and will end up scrolling for several hours, and then my TBR is expanded by 40. With so many talented people operating the space, why do you think followers enjoy your content so much?
That's a good question. I think, I don't know. That's honestly something that I've always been like, I'm not really sure why people watch what I make, but I'm glad that they do, and I'm not going to question it. I think that it's just a matter of, like, I'm very honest, and if I don't like a book, I do say that I don't like a book. And that's the reality with most people on Book Talk. Everyone's very honest in their opinions. But I think that's something that, yeah, I try to offer a different sort of range of books, and ones that are very much just like what I enjoy, I want to share with people. And so I think that does come across in the fact that I'm trying to just make content that I enjoy, and I try different things, and if they don't quite fit with me, then I just, you know, leave it where it is. And I think, yeah, people will probably, hopefully, just like my content because I'm very much myself, and I still try to put a little bit of humor in there sometimes. The old stuff
make
that I used
smile.
To make. Exactly. That's the thing. I just want to have fun. And I think that does kind of show in what I make. And I don't want to post things that I don't feel 100% genuine in. And so, yeah, hopefully that's why people like following me.
I think it is. I think it 100% is. That's why I like following you.
Thank you.
Just like hearing your insight on that. Yeah. Do you have a literary fiction novel that both the publishing world and Book Talk is sleeping on, do you think?
Ooh. That is a great question. Let me think. I've got a little stack of books next to me. I think Acts of Desperation by Megan Nolan. I know it's not like, it's not an unpopular book, but I feel like I don't see enough people talking about it. It's got like short chapters. I think it had such like an interesting take on like how the unnamed narrator like looked at being a woman was so interesting. And the like relationship that it explored, it was just such like an intimate look at what this couple was going through. And so that's one that I think people, like, I can see a lot of people loving that. Like, it does get compared to Normal People by Sally Rooney, which is super popular. And I can understand why. It's very much different to Normal People, so I wouldn't go in there expecting that, but it does have that sort of vibe to it. And so I really love that. And also, like, my favorite book of all time is White Oleander by Janet Fitch. And I know that again, there's been a movie made about it. It's an extremely popular book, but I think especially online, I don't see as many people talking about it. And I just know that from the books that I'm seeing people talk about, they would love that book. It's very dark and it deals with some heavy themes, but it's so beautifully written that it's just, I want everyone to like read it. It's one that I just want to give to everyone and say, there you go. And so that's one that I think, even though it's popular, I want more people to be reading it.
Well, maybe they're reading it, they just don't talk about it as much.
Very true.
Maybe it needs to be talked about more.
That's what I think, yeah, because it was obviously, like, it's quite an old book. I think it might have came out in, like, the 90s, early 2000s. And so back then, obviously, there wasn't really an online space as big as it is now talking about books. And so that's the thing. I think it was popular when people weren't talking about their books online. And now I'm like, read it now and talk about it now, because that's what I'm doing.
It's like some books are even having a bit of a resurgence. Oh, so like sure. Books that came out, you know, they would not having a shelf life, but their press or popularity would maybe die off a year after publication. But now we're seeing books hit the charts again, even at like 6, 7, 10 years after they've been published, which is amazing for the book industry. Like,
it's so
fantastic.
Cool.
All because of book talk.
Exactly. That's the thing. You see like a book just absolutely blow up. And you're like, wow, the author must be stoked. Like, that is such a cool thing that it's like, yeah, enabling books that, like, new books, but also, yeah, the older books to be brought back to the surface again. It's awesome.
So White Oleander needs to get back on those charts is what I'm
hearing. I think so. Yeah, I do think so.
Well, I also really love something about your content I really enjoy, I should say, is the way you do reviews. Is I was watching, I think you did Carrie Soto, I believe, and you were like, this is 3 stars, but it's not because it was a bad book, this is a good book. I loved the way you did reviews.
Thank you.
Normally people would see 3 stars and be like, oh, I wouldn't read that, but you explain it, it's like, it's not a bad book, it's just, I don't know, can you tell me a bit more about your review process?
Yeah, so the way that I rate books, I feel like I've seen a lot of people talking about it online, that like rating books, it's kind of becoming difficult because people are obviously, everyone has like a different view on like, oh, if this is a 3-star book, it must not be that good. But for me, a 3-star is a book that I enjoyed. Like, there was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't like a new favorite, but I just really enjoyed reading it. And so it gets a solid, like, middle of the line 3 stars. And so I think that I like to explain that to people because they do get thrown off when I say like, oh, it was 3 stars. But it was really good, like, and I do recommend it to people if you're wanting a book that's purely fun. The reason why I give, like, a book 5 stars is when I've got that really strong, like, emotional connection to it. And I feel like Taylor Jenkins Reid's books, they're so fun, and she's brilliant at writing a plot.
Writer.
Like, the way that I was sucked in and started caring about tennis while reading that book, it was insane. And so I think that, like, that's the thing I try to like explain, which is why my reviews tend to be a little bit longer. I wish I could be one of those people that just like puts a sentence and that sums it up perfectly. But I just have so many things that I want to say in order to get my point across about how I actually like emotionally felt towards the book. And so, yeah, I like to explain like why I've given it the rating that I have. And yeah, it's interesting because sometimes I'll read a book and then go back like a couple weeks later and be like, actually, that was a 5-star. That wasn't just a 4. Or I read it and like I gave it a 4-star and I'm like, it was more so a 3 now. Like with time, you kind of sit with it. And so, yeah, it does change. But I try to, yeah, just get my reviews to be like, try to be succinct, but still get across all of my thoughts and emotions.
That's funny that you say that it changes over time because the amount of times this year, as I have a reading goal on Goodreads, that I have gone back and changed ratings. I do that so often and I always feel bad giving a book like a 3 out of 5, but I appreciate it when I, like I said, I was watching your videos. It's not a bad book. 3 is good. Why? Yeah. I don't say my 3 suddenly become bad, but like 5, yeah, I feel like it has to be one of those ones that you're just like, it made me really feel things.
Yeah.
And not did I just enjoy it or it was good writing. Like, this made me feel some kind of way.
Exactly. So that's the thing. That's how I kind of put it. Like, 5 stars is like, it's actually like really like impacted me on a personal level. And then 4 stars is a book that I really loved. Like, I would recommend it to anyone, depending on the content. I always like to make sure people do check trigger warnings because a lot of the books that I do recommend deal with very heavy themes because that's just something that I do find that I emotionally connect to more. And then, yeah, like 3 stars, it's like just actually like a good, solid book. And then we start getting to the 2 stars and the 1 stars, which is like there's some things that I wasn't a huge fan of. But still, I think every book is very much like subjective, whether you're going to enjoy it or not. And there are books that I've seen people that I love and I really look up to. They didn't like it, but I loved it. And I think that's the beauty of reading is there really is a book for everyone.
100%. I was watching a video on Book Talk the other day and they were like, Book Talk failed me when I, you know, was recommended this book and I hated it. And then the book came up and I was like, no, it's one of my favorites.
It happens like, no. All the time.
But it's just, I loved it, but they hated it. Or the amount of times I've recommended a book to a friend and they've hated it. And I've been like, it was amazing. It was so good. It changed my life. It'll change your life. And then they read it and they're like, Cass, it was awful. I'm like, no.
I know. You're like, what did I do? Like, did I read it wrong? Like, I know. It's one of those things. But it is. It's like something that I do think sometimes people forget. It's like, yes, I loved it, but you might not. Or you absolutely loved it, and it's not me attacking you as a person or your taste if I didn't love it. Which I can understand, because when you do care about a book and you care about the characters, you feel that emotional connection. You almost want to protect the book from negative criticism. But then everybody does have a unique like outlook on life, and that means that they're going to relate to things differently. And I think that's the beauty of reading. But it is hard when you see someone saying that they hated your fave. You're like, oh my gosh. You can't say that. It's brilliant. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
And you question yourself. You're like, am I wrong? Did I read it wrong? Do I actually like it? And like, no, I like it. I love that book.
Yeah.
Why does this person hate it?
I have to like go back through my review and reread it and be like, why did I love that so much? And I'm like, okay, no, yeah, it's fair. Like, I stand by it. It is. It's stressful. Being like the one in like my group of friends, I like love reading, and so I always want to get them books for their birthday, but then I'm always stressed to give them my faves because I'm like, what if they end up hating it? Like, and I've forced them into like dedicating hours of their life to something that they might not enjoy, but it's worthwhile.
That's always risky, giving books as a present, but when you know them and then you give them a book that they're going to really enjoy and they come back and they're like, I love that book. That was amazing. It's the best.
Exactly. Exactly. I gave my friend's little sister, she was turning 18, and I gave her Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton, and she ended up crying. She was like, I loved it so much, because it was one of those books that I was like, yes, if I was turning 18 and someone gave me that book, it really would have changed my outlook on growing up. And so, yeah, it was such a fulfilling thing. I was like, thank you. I'm so glad that it hit in the way that I intended it to.
I love that. Yes, 100%. Oh, I have to read that book. I swear, your recommendations, my TBR has gone from, actually, I don't even want to give you a number of my TBR to
don't worry,
another
I
10 more.
I literally could never judge.
I saw you did a video on I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. I cannot wait to buy this book. Like, I should have it already, but I'm on my book buying ban at the moment. But I need to hear more about this book because it's everywhere. Is it as good as people say?
It was brilliant. I listened to the audiobook of it and I would highly recommend it. It was narrated by her and it was just such like a beautiful experience reading it in the exact way that she intended it to be read. And she had such a way of like telling the story and like evoking the emotions. It just really like drew me in and it was so impactful. And one of the most like honest memoirs that I've ever read. It was just brilliantly done. And I can totally understand why it's got all of the praise that it's getting. It's well deserved. She's a brilliant writer. And in the book, she did talk about how she loved writing. Like that was what she wanted to do. And she kind of was writing screenplays. But then obviously she was very much like pushed into doing acting by her mum. And so for her to be able to now write, it's just such... It's such a rewarding thing to be able to support that. And it was just, yeah, I think it was one of the best memoirs I've ever read and I would highly recommend it.
I've actually never read a memoir and I think it's going to be my first one. I think actually I'm half reading kind of a memoir now. I don't know if you can classify it as a memoir, but yeah, I've set myself a bit of a goal this year to really, don't get me wrong, I still read mainly inside my favorite genre, but I'm slowly stepping outside of that a little bit and I'm finding it really rewarding. I feel like I'm on my book growth journey.
It's such a nice thing when you start finding things, because it's like, if you haven't read a genre, it can feel quite like daunting because you're like, well, I know that I like this and I know I'm going to enjoy that style. And so what if I'm like wasting time reading a book that I might not enjoy when there are so many books that I've got on like my TBR that I'm going to love. But when it comes to memoirs, I love memoirs. There's something about them. Like I've read recently In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado. That is such a brilliant memoir. And I feel like as well, memoirs get like kind of, there's this outlook on them that they, I don't know, have a very like stock standard format, but there are so many very creative memoirs. And In the Dream House was one of them. Like the format of it, it didn't read like a memoir. It just read like a very a very like twisting and original story, but obviously because it was real, it makes it even more emotionally impactful. So if you do get into memoirs, that's another one that I would recommend.
You're really selling me on it.
It's so good. Like, I can understand why it got the hype. And it was one of those ones, I've had it now, I've wanted to read it for years, but when the book's really popular and I'm seeing all these people recommend it, I'm like, oh, I'll get to it, because I know I'm going to love it, but I'm scared that if I don't love it, then it's over and I don't have a chance. Whereas if it's just sitting there on my shelf, I'm like, well, it's there and I know that it's going to be good for one day, but not right now. And I finally got around to reading it and it was brilliant.
But maybe it wouldn't have been as good of an experience reading it if you weren't ready for it. Like, I feel like I get the same thing. I'll buy a book and I'm like, I know I'm going to love this. It hits all the boxes, like ticks all the boxes of something I'm going to love. But I need to be in the right mood to 100%. Read that specific book or something, because I'm very much mood led when I'm picking my next book. I'm like, can I deal with a sadder book? Or am I in the rude mood for something fluffy? Like,
yeah. That's the thing. And that's why I used to try to do TBRs for the beginning of the month, and I never stuck to them, because by the time you finish one book, you might have, like, your outlook on what you're wanting to consume might have completely changed. And so I very much am like, after that book's done, I'll pick whatever book I feel like, because I'm very much a mood reader, which makes it hard because there are so many great books that I'm like, I want to read it, but I just need to wait because it's not going to hit the same. It's like Normal People. The first time I read that was in like April of 2020, and I gave it 3 stars. And I wrote in my review, the original review, I was like, oh, I think I would have enjoyed this at a different time. And then I read it at the end of last year and I loved it. It was 5 stars. It was like became one of my favorite books of all time because I was just in a different headspace, ready to kind of take on that type of book. And so, yeah, it 100% can affect your, like, experience with the book if you're not ready for it.
Yeah, and you have to be in the right mental space. Like you said, you're reading some, I guess, darker material. Mm. Sometimes with those topics, you really, if you're not in the right mood for it or there's something going on in your life, you can't read those things and really get the most out of them.
Exactly. It's really tricky. There have been so many books that I've started reading and I'm like, I just can't deal with this right now. I need something fun. And so I'll pick up a romance and it just hits what I need it to. I'm still reading, but I'm not having to take on that emotional sort of toll. And then when I've got nothing really going on, I'm like, okay, I've got the time and the mental space to really take on what that book is throwing at me. And so, yeah, it's very much something you have to kind of take as it comes.
Yeah, 100% agree with that one. What do you think your dream library looks like?
Okay, I've thought about this. I have a Pinterest board of my like dream house, and all I want is like, I don't need it to be massive. I just want like a little room with like dark wood shelves and like just books everywhere and like stacked all like randomly. And so it's one of those things where people come in and it's just like kind of almost overwhelming because it's like, oh, where do you even look? And it's just, that's like the dream. And I also want like, just like a tiny little nook somewhere where I can just sit, be surrounded by books, like next to a window, preferably a bay window. I have really thought about this. And just, yeah, be able to really feel comfortable. Because at the moment, my library is like one little shelf in my room and then one out in the main part of the house. And that's all the space. I'm literally running out of space for books. I'm kind of panicking about it, to be honest. But I'm not complaining. It's a good problem to have, so.
Definitely. What are your thoughts on, like, the bookshelf ladders that are everywhere?
Oh, the dream. That's the thing. Like, high ceilings, you got books right up to the roof, and then you can slide the ladder along, hop up, grab whatever you're wanting. They're so cool.
They are. I feel like that trend has really taken off, and all I see is, like, these people in beautiful dresses picking out their books, and I'm like, right, well, what do I need to do to get there?
Clearly. I know. At this point, all my books are just the highest is like a light reach up because I'm already like almost 6 foot tall. So I'm going to need like really high ceilings in order to make the ladder necessary, but I'm willing to make that happen.
It's worth it. It would all be 100% worth it. Mm-hmm. Well, we're now at the part of the show where we ask what books you've been reading and recommending. What has No Sophies Allowed been reading and enjoying?
Well, the other day I finished Girl, Woman, Other by Bernardine Evaristo, and that is such a brilliant book, and I can understand why it's so popular. And it's one of those ones that was so popular that I just kept putting off reading, and I don't know why I do that. Like, obviously it's popular for a reason. And so I finally sat down and I was like, no, I'm going to read it. And it was such, like, I don't even know how to properly explain how well done that book is. It basically follows 11 different black women and then one black non-binary person, and they're just interwoven sort of experiences, and it just covers such a vast range of stories within only like 450 pages. And to be able to feel so like emotionally connected to each character in such a short amount of time was such a refreshing experience. Because there are some books where I just, you know, you get into it and it's like 300 pages later and you're like, I never really felt that connected to the character, but it was fine. But this, like, every character just had so much depth. And so that is one that I would highly recommend. That's my most recent one that I've read. And then again, I read In the Dream House, which is brilliant. And I also read recently Big Beautiful Female Theory by Eloise Grills. And that one is such an interesting, like, it's a memoir again, but it's a very much a different approach to a memoir that I haven't seen before, where it had like her art and comics and poems and essays all compiled into this book. And it is just such an interesting look at her experiences with her body, and like how the way she perceives herself and how other people have perceived her has like affected her growing up. And it was so interesting and so beautiful. And I loved that one. And so those are three that I've read recently that I thought were brilliant, which has been good. Every book I've been reading recently, I've been giving 5 stars to, which is just such a refreshing experience. And I think it does come, as we were saying before, with just finding the genre that you're really enjoying. I'm now realizing like, oh, so reading can be like overall just always very enjoyable, because I'm just filtering out the books that just aren't for me. And so, yeah, those are my three that I think are brilliant. And then also, yeah, White Oleander is my standout. Like, I just want to push that one into everyone's hands.
Everyone just has to read that one, clearly.
Exactly. If you're in the right headspace for it, it's beautiful.
Blake, actually forgot to ask before, so sorry, I will continue with the book chat, but what's up next for you?
Well, like in just life terms?
In general, yeah. Whatever you like to share.
I'm graduating at the end of this year. So I've done my degree in media and communication, and I've been majoring in photography. So I'm graduating that, and I'm hoping...
Congrats.
Thank you. It's been an interesting 3 years studying while COVID was going on and things like that. But it's been such a fun experience. I feel like I've really found my little group of people at uni, and it's such a like exciting thing that we're all going to be graduating together. And so after that, I'm either going to potentially go on to do honours next year, or ideally the dream is to work in the publishing industry. I just want to see where I can fit into that and see where that takes me. So that's the major life plan that I'm going to work towards. But other than that, I just am excited to continue reading. And I've got so many books that, like, now that the weather's getting warmer, they're like perfect summer books that I've been putting off reading, even though I'm so excited. And so that's something that I'm excited to do. And yeah, just work on figuring out my little place in things. And I'm planning to go and see my friend who's moved and stay with her for a little while. And so, yeah, just a lot of fun little things that I'm looking forward to.
All good things though. And I'm sure, you know, both having, that's a great degree, by the way. I know, because I did almost the same thing.
Stop. Oh my God.
Yeah. I did a comms degree as well. So great degree, not to mention all of your followers got it in the bag for sure.
Yeah, that's, thank you. That's the plan. That's why I'm like very thankful that I've managed to find my little thing on BookTok, because I feel like it's managed to, already I've got these like great sort of relationships with so many publishing houses, which is so cool and something that I have to like pinch myself, because I'm like, this is something that I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to do already before I've even graduated. I've already managed to kind of, yeah, little foot in the door, you know?
Bit of networking never hurt anyone.
Exactly.
Yeah, comms was just networking. That is,
yeah,
literally
exactly.
Well, we'll finish off with some quick fire questions. No wrong answers, just a little bit of fun. Okay. What is the perfect idea of a night with a book for you?
Ooh, a nice little chai tea. I've got this really great one. It's called Bread and Butter Pudding, and it's just got like different spices in it. So settle down with a little cup of that. Put my lamps all on. I'm all about ambient lighting at nighttime. There's no way I'm reading with the overhead lighting on. So I put all my lamps and my fairy lights on and I just get cozy in. And that's like very simple and just have a good book that I'm already, ideally one that I'm already into. So not one that I'm having to start and figure out, like I'm already like 150 pages in. I've got that connection and I can just sit down and get straight into it. That's the ideal.
We're just going to have to rewind to the bread and butter pudding chai. What? Where did you get this and how can I get it?
I got it from T2. It was like, it's a Christmas one. So keep your eyes peeled because they might hopefully be bringing it out again, fingers crossed, because it's so nice. And it's one that, yeah, when my friends come over, I am guilty of like never really making myself a tea when I'm alone. But when my friends come over, I'm like, guys, look at my tea cupboard. And I want to be a tea girl. So I'm trying now to actively like brew myself a little cup of tea. Now that I've bought them all, they're all in my cupboard there. So yeah, but bread and butter pudding tea, it's a good one.
I love chai. I love chai, especially iced chai. So I think...
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to have to get that. That is
iced chai is my go-to.
Oh, at a good cafe when it's blended.
Stop.
Yeah.
It's so good. There was this one that I went to once and it had like this syrup in it. It almost tasted like gingerbread, like syrup. Oh, it was insane. It was beautiful. I've been craving that chai for like a year now. I'm going to have to head back.
You're going to have to get it again. I know. And you can always tell if a good cafe if they've done a good iced chai. Because I've had many a bad iced chai.
Oh,
but the one cafe down the road from me, they do a blended one. And then like the cream on top. Oh.
Yeah.
So good.
When they've nailed the recipe, you're like, yeah, you know what you're doing. And you can trust any other drink on the menu then. Because if you, because some iced chais, they just really don't taste like anything. And I'm like, okay, that's $5 for milk. Awesome.
But they've just they chucked like the chai powder in and a little bit of like soy milk and then just mixed it and it's not, it's not it.
No,
it's not good. Love that we're on the same wavelength.
I know, exact same page.
All right, well, you get in a lift and the person you've always wanted to meet is there. Who is it?
Oh my gosh. Probably, I'm going to have to go a very standard answer, Taylor Swift. If Taylor Swift was in a lift, that would honestly, I think, be too much for me to handle on an emotional level. I'd probably get a little bit overwhelmed and just not say anything because I'd also want to play it cool. You know what I mean? And like, so we could be friends. You got to like go your angle so she doesn't think, you know, I'm just a fan and like, oh, like you're from around here, which is probably not the way to go because obviously she'd know that I'm a Taylor Swift fan. Yeah, it's very obvious. I probably have it playing in my headphones and she just hears it. But yeah, that's
just
the
get
dream.
Her name wrong by accident. Is it Taylor, was it? Sorry, Taylor. Oh, lovely to meet you. Love your dress.
Yeah, it's a great little fit you've got going on. That's the thing. You've just got to go in with the very casual, like, friend approach. And then I can be in Taylor Swift's little squad.
Well, now I have to ask, what's your favourite Taylor Swift album?
Oh, okay. Favorite album. At the moment, I've really been in my Fearless Taylor's Version moment. Like The Other Side of the Door came on the other day when I was driving. That was a life-altering experience. And I'd say though, on an overall level, like if I'm going to sit down and like listen to a Taylor Swift album, it's going to be Folklore. Because it's the perfect album for like any situation, especially when you're reading. I can put that one on and start reading. Oh my gosh. August?
That's a good reading album.
Yeah. It's a great album just in general for any situation I'm in. If I'm sad, if I'm happy, it just always works. Purple. Exactly.
Perfect. Amazing. And we're just going to ask the classic last question. You're stuck on a deserted island and while you await rescue, you get to take 3 books with you. I feel like I may know the answer to this one already, but what books would you choose?
Okay. I would, it's getting a bit repetitive now. I would have to take White Oleander because I do want to reread that one. I feel like rereading that would change my kind of perspective because I've only read it once. So it was very much, I was going in blind, didn't know what to expect. But now that I know, I feel like I would be able to unpack it a lot more. So that's one. I would also probably take, let me just see what's on my TBR. I'd probably take Sunset by Jessie Cave. That's my book that I'm most excited to read this summer. I'm very excited about that. It's like, it's set in the summertime, but it deals with grief, I think. So that one I'm interested to get into. And then I'd probably take, This is probably a bit of a controversial answer. I know especially online people have strong opinions, but I'd probably take A Little Life because I've been wanting to reread that one. I read it like a couple years ago and it was my favourite book at the time. But now that I've heard a lot of other opinions on it, I'm interested to see how my opinion would change if I reread it. And also it's like 800 pages. So that would keep me plenty busy while I'm on an island.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you would spend a good amount of time doing that. I feel like, yeah, that would keep you very occupied while you await rescue.
It would keep me occupied and very, like, emotionally just crying the whole time. So that would be brilliant. Probably
but
not
you're crying over a book, not the fact that you've been deserted. So.
Exactly. Like, my life would seem pretty, you know, compared to what happens in that book, I'm just stuck on an island, you know? It could be worse.
Perspective. Exactly. We love that.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sophie. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on Tell Me What to Read.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
Well, if you enjoyed our show today, you can check out more episodes of Tell Me What to Read right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Drop the show a review on Apple Podcasts or a like on Spotify and let us know what you think. Thanks for listening and never stop reading.
Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Remember, all books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au. Links can be found in the description. We would also love to hear what you're reading, so feel free to join the conversation on social media. Search Booktopia on your favourite platform and join our book club. We'll catch you for our next episode, but until then, thanks for listening and never stop reading.